guys. It's Kate Conroy.
And I'm Vinny Civitello.
And this is Other People's Business. We are the podcast from the New Jersey Business and Industry Association, which is the largest business association of the state of New Jersey, representing about 1.1 million employees, which is kind of big. If you need more info, njbia.org is where you can find it.
And with us today is Laura Link from Archer Law. Tell us a little about yourself.
How you doing? I'm a labor and employment attorney at Archer Law, formerly known as Archer and Griner until the two of them had it out and we kicked Griner out.
Wow.
So now we're just Archer Law. I've been there for 8 years and I'm excited to be here today.
Was there like a fist fight in the cafeteria?
It was a little uncomfortable.
Really?
Yeah, we took a vote. We actually all raised our hands one side or the other, and Archer just, you know.
Lord of the Fly style, he's out.
Wow. He got voted off.
Voted off the island.
Yeah, and we're moving forward. But we're happy about it. We're excited about it. We even have, you know, I'm thinking about a new logo with somebody with a big bow and arrow. Hitting the mark every time.
That
Hunger Games.
Awesome. Hunger Games. I love it. Yeah, Archer, not to be confused with the show on Comedy, not Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, right?
I think it's Cartoon Network.
It is Cartoon Network, and we are just as inappropriate.
That is awesome. Okay, so we're going to get started as we always do with an icebreaker. Are you an inside person or are you an outside person? And Vinny and I have had longer to think about this, so one of us will go first. I don't know, Vinny, you want to...
I am the definition of an inside person.
Really?
Like, it's amazing that I even have to walk outside to get to my car to get here. Oh, I hate the outdoor. Well, you know, all of my hobbies are indoor hobbies.
Right.
Like, I'm a big movie fan. I like video games. You know, all stuff you can do as a geek indoors.
Right.
You know, I even put the blackout curtains up just so you don't have the sun interfere with your TV.
Wow.
I'm just like that.
The definition of an inside person.
Yes, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Laura.
I don't think we can be friends.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I'm sorry to break this to you meeting you, but no. So I grew up with four brothers. We spent our entire lives outside because I think that was the only way my mom could stay sane. Uh-huh. It was just like, you need to go outside now for the entire day. So we spent all of our lives looking under rocks for slugs and lizards and frogs and toads and turtles and whatever we could find, and that kind of stuck with me. And then I ended up meeting my husband, who's the exact same way, and my in-laws constantly tell me, I cannot believe you found the one woman in the entire world who wanted to have a pet snake.
Oh, forget that.
You should not have a pet snake.
So when we were in college, my husband bought me a python for my birthday.
Wow. And the romance.
It doesn't really get any better than that. And he, at the time, was actually terrified of snakes, and when he went to the pet store, he picked it out and they went to hand it to him and he was like, no, that's for my girlfriend.
Yeah.
So
we'll be taking two cars. I'm in one, the snake is in the other.
But I did convert him. He's now also a python lover. And then we kind of, our relationship developed from there and we became exotic pet enthusiasts, like some of our friends might call us. So we got into the world of chameleons, which I don't know how long this podcast is, but if I can tell you everything you're wanting to know about
chameleons. We don't have a hard stop.
But yeah, so our friends thought we were pretty crazy for a while because we had four different chameleons that were very rare, and we ordered them online and had them shipped here especially. They're from Madagascar originally. And chameleons are just about the coolest things and closest things we have to dinosaurs. So,
I thought birds were like closely related.
They are, but chameleons
Jurassic
look
Park.
More like the image that you have in your head.
You're right.
Of like a dinosaur.
You're right.
You
I
know?
Never thought about that.
And a lot of people don't know. I mean, so everyone thinks, oh, chameleons, they change with their environment and that's cool. And that's true. That is cool. But what's really cool about chameleons is they actually change with their emotions. So
they're mood animals.
They're mood rings.
Exactly. Yes. they're the coolest mood rings ever. So if they're mad, they turn red and yellow. If a female doesn't want to mate, she turns brown with orange stripes, which I love to think if, you know, humans were like that, how cool that would be. Like,
it's not happening tonight.
Just wear all our emotions on our sleeves.
It actually would be a lot easier for these awkward situations where you have to like figure out how to let a guy down.
Right.
And just like,
just look at the stripes. It's not happening.
Sorry, buddy. Orange today.
Wow.
It's hilarious.
So we had all these different kinds of exotic pets for a long time. And one of our friends was pretty worried about us because at one point we told our friend, we're going to buy an ocelot. And at this point, we had a python, we had four chameleons, we had a big saltwater fish tank. So we had kind of been known as these crazy pet people. And so an ocelot is a type of chameleon, and they're huge. They're like cat size.
Jesus.
But an ocelot, it turns out, is also the name of a large cat.
That's what I thought you were talking about.
not like a house cat, like a bobcat size, like legit cat that could scratch your face off.
Yeah.
Wow.
Are there
laws about having like these kinds of, I'm sure people have pythons, but bobcats is a little,
No, yeah, they're definitely, except for in Pennsylvania, they're cool. Pennsylvania people are a little bit, you know, loose with the laws.
Hey.
No, really, they have reptile shows in Pennsylvania where you can go get poisonous snakes.
Oh, my God.
There are just no rules there.
Do you think you could have a pet snake?
Yeah.
Personally, no way.
Yeah, no.
No.
I don't feel like I'm actively afraid of snakes. Like, I'm not actively afraid of much of anything.
Right.
But that said, if I'm like walking around, you know, and I just happen to notice that there's like a rattlesnake looking at me, I'm sure I'm going to run as fast as I can in the other direction. This is a PG podcast. I'd probably have to change my pants when I got home. But, you know, like, but I wouldn't say like the image of a snake would freak me out. But yeah, no, I don't know that I could live with one in my house, just knowing that at any moment it could have gotten out of its little enclosure and could be like crawling up me right now.
But what's it gonna do to you?
Kill you.
No! Swallow you whole.
Swallow me whole, yeah. I saw Anaconda.
Right? They can dislocate their jaws and they could just...
Yeah.
But they can't. But they could... Okay, so... I always have this conversation with people because we literally have people who would not come to our house because we had a python. Now, we had a ball python. It's called a ball python because when they get scared, they roll into a ball.
Aww.
They're like the sweetest thing.
It's cute
thing.
Until you actually visualize it and you think it's a snake
now,
doing it. You know?
If you see the ball python eat a rat, it's kind of terrifying. But there's no way that python would ever bite you. I mean, think about it. It'd be the equivalent of you walking up to a bison and trying to take a bite out of it.
We do that, though, right?
Yeah, we'll kill them first, though.
And put them into little pieces.
Yep. Do you watch that show on Netflix, A Series of Unfortunate Events?
No.
Okay, episodes 3 and 4 are all about how the kids get sent to their Uncle Monty, who's got a reptile room. He's like a reptile guy. And there's this gigantic snake that at one point wraps all around the baby. And it makes me so nervous every time it happens.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we don't let our python wrap around our baby because that's just not advisable because they actually are closer to the size that the python
can. Right.
Yeah.
Like, they can eat a baby whole,
it'd
right?
have to be a 20-foot python.
Okay.
You're not talking about, like, we had a 4.5-foot python.
Okay.
So, yeah.
They get bigger. Though, right?
The problem is, like, people in Florida that buy these Burmese pythons, it's so irresponsible. They're going to get to be 22 feet. And, like, yeah, you shouldn't have a 22-foot animal.
Not at all
house.
As responsible like, as buying a bobcat. Like, you know,
right. Now. Yeah, no, so the ocelot. So our friends were like, you can't do this. This is dangerous. And we're like, what if it bites you? And chameleons can bite you. So we're like, it's okay. It's no big deal. And they had a real big intervention with us before we realized
that.
Wow. That is hilarious. Anyways. I can't even follow that. I can't. I mean, I guess I...
Yeah. So you an outdoor person, Kate?
Compared to Laura. I'm pretty inside, actually. I garden
outside. Got Steve Irwin over here.
Yeah, right? Steve Irwin. Oh, my God. That's crazy. Yeah, I guess I'm mostly an inside person. But I do garden, and I like to take walks. But other than that, yeah, pretty much inside. Although I have a group of friends who keep browbeating me into trying camping. And I'm like, no. Camping is like a one-star hotel for me.
Yes,
that's
roughing it, yeah. True Beverly Hills.
Yes, I totally did. I wasn't thinking of that when I came up with that line. But yeah, I don't camp. Maybe in a cabin. Maybe in a camper.
One bathroom for 20 girls.
Exactly. Maybe in a camper.
Yeah.
But a tent on the ground?
Nowadays when we camp, I mean, I definitely bring an air mattress and call it glamping. But camping's fun, though. You sit around, eat s'mores.
I mean, couldn't you just get a fire pit in your backyard?
Yes, we have one.
There you go. Like, that's all I want is the fire, the s'mores, the, you know, having a beer around the campfire and then going into my house. And
then I get
my
to
bed.
Select right. how many bug bites I get before
right.
I go home, you know? Like
exactly.
Yeah. All right, so tell us a little bit about Archer and what you do there.
So the firm, first of all, I mean, the firm is a full service firm. So we have 200 attorneys and we do everything. So any need for any lawyer, we got it. Me personally, I focus on labor and employment law. So I counsel employers in helping them navigate the absolute mess of federal and state and local labor and employment laws. So just to sort of break that down, if you know, you got an employee who is doing something crazy at work, like I don't know, putting glue on the toilet seat so that their coworker sits
I'm
on
sorry.
It.
It's an awesome idea.
Real story.
That's not a real story.
That's when you call me.
Somebody did that?
Yeah, that's real. That's real. And actually, the woman who was the target of this attack.
How do you attack? How do you target a singular person?
Because they had male and female bathrooms, and she was the only female in the office.
Oh, that's
so bad. A man did this to her?
Yes, she was targeted.
I was thinking like girl on, you know, girl mean, you know, mean girls kind of thing.
No.
Or
they
guys
were friends.
Being guys.
Yeah. They had been friends for years before they even started working together, and he just thought that this was a really funny practical joke.
So he wasn't actively trying to be mean. It was a practical joke.
Oh yeah, he thought this was hilarious. This was really funny.
No,
this was a practical joke gone way wrong.
Oh no, what
litigation
happened?
Wrong. Yeah, so she sued. And you know, we represented the employer, and she claimed sexual harassment. And actually, we ended up winning. Because it wasn't done because she was a woman, which would be, you know,
the
harassment based on sex.
How do you prove that?
It was done because they were friends and it was a practical joke. So it tricky one. That's a tricky. It was a tricky, but it was interesting and whatever. So if you got that going on, give me a call.
oh my God, I bet you have.
But I help, you know, so I help employers with all sorts of harassment and discrimination issues. I do harassment training. I write employee manuals and policies, obviously with the idea of being trying to prevent your employees from trying to glue other employees to the toilet. But yeah, or another one would be, another recent one would be, we had had helped an employer navigate this situation with a new employee they just hired. He went home, went on Facebook, friended everybody in the office, and then sent a link to animated porn that featured Gumby.
Oh no!
I don't even have anything to say about
that.
So there's that. Like,
wow.
There's so many levels of
just
weird on that.
What? He thought it would be funny?
You know what? The really depressing thing is I'm getting
funny.
A visual now.
Me too.
Yeah, right. So the employer calls me up and is like, can we fire this guy?
What's that sidekick pokey?
All right, yes.
I really have to stop. I'm sorry.
Ben, you went there. You went there.
I did. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. This is my life. So the employer calls me up and says, can I fire this guy? And I'm like, well, first of all, send me what he sent you. So now I got to review this in my office.
Lovely.
So, you know, my door is behind my back. So I'm constantly like looking over my back, scrolling through this animated Gumby porn, being like, this is for work.
I was going to say, exactly. How many people walked by as you were doing
and
that?
And I had this big debate with myself, like, do I shut the door?
Right.
Do I not shut the door? Because if I shut the door and then someone knocks, it's like, you know, this is going to be weird. But
yeah.
You know, so.
And then you try to close out of it and 40 other screens pop up.
Yeah.
Gets progressively worse. I don't know how it gets worse from Gumby, but yeah.
So anyway, so that was a clear, like, yeah, fire the guy. You're good. You're good on that. But turns out watching Gumby porn is not a protected class under New Jersey or federal law. So no problem.
I'll have to keep that in mind.
Yeah. But so there's no... And every time an employer is like, well, that would never happen at my office,
right.
I tell them, stop kidding yourself. Because people find an opportunity to do dumb and crazy things in every office in the United States of America and beyond. So if you have employees doing crazy things, that's when you give me a call. And I help employers navigate the boring stuff like family and medical leave and how to comply with the Americans with Disabilities Act and overtime and whether or not the overtime rules are going into effect or they're not going into effect or they're going into effect or not when we have these political changes. Big thing on my agenda recently has been employees putting crazy things on Facebook and social media because people have zero boundaries when they leave the office and post, I don't know. Are you guys on Facebook?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're friends on Facebook.
We are.
Should we stop?
That's personal decision.
You don't know the kinds of stuff Kate puts up. I mean, the Gumby thing is just the beginning.
Tip of the iceberg.
Yes.
Right?
Man. Yeah. Well, everybody's on Facebook and they, you know, post about work or they harass their coworkers through Facebook and
I don't know. That's just common sense. I don't ever post anything about work unless it's promotional, like something that we're doing or an event that we're having. It just seems like such bad form and really short-sighted to complain about work ever on Facebook.
Yeah, but you can legally under the National Labor Relations Act.
I know I can.
About Facebook. No, but this is a problem. So actually do a lot of speaking on this topic. So it turns out that under the National Labor Relations Act, employees are allowed to complain about the terms and conditions of their employment. So what has happened in the last 2-3 years is there's been a number of cases where employees go on Facebook and literally write something like, name their boss, my boss sucks. Or much, much, much worse terms than sucks. Like, my boss is a fill in the blank. And the response from employers has been pretty reasonable, which is, okay, we're going to fire this guy. This guy can't go online and, you know, call me and, you know, fill in the blank. But it turns out they can, because you're allowed to complain about your boss.
That's well, if you're allowed to glue somebody's butt to a toilet seat.
Well, you're not allowed to.
I'm sure you can go on Facebook and say whatever you want.
Let me just clear the record here. You cannot glue anyone to the toilet. It just might not be deemed sexual harassment if you do that, but you should certainly fire your employees if they're doing
that. Oh my God.
But yeah, so this has been a huge issue lately, and the National Labor Relations Board, which is the federal agency that enforces the National Labor Relations Act, has come in and, you know, and held, like, yeah, you have to. So what was happening was employers are going online saying, my boss sucks, my boss is an a-hole, my boss is, you know, terrible, blah, blah, blah. And much worse, like I said, I'm not going to say them on the podcast, but much worse than that. And then other coworkers were liking those posts.
Oh, no.
And so what that created is what the law calls concerted activity, which means basically the law grants employees the right to form a union, right? So if you're in your, if I'm like, oh my God, my job is horrible, who agrees with me? And my coworkers all agree with me. And I'm like, let's form a union. Right? That's all protected activity, all those steps under the National Labor Relations Act. So because more than one employee were involved in this and saying, my boss is terrible, my boss is this, my boss is that, the National Labor Relations Board came in and said, that's actually protected, that's concerted activity under the National Labor Relations Act. And these employees have been fired, and they were ordered to give them their jobs back and to pay them back pay for the entire period that they were out of work.
Wow.
So when you litigate these cases, they can take, you know, a year, 2 years, 2.5 years. And so imagine all the money that they would have made had they remained employed is money that the employer had to pay out and bring them back to work. And maybe, you know, they probably hired somebody else. So it creates all kinds of
problems. Would that include like cost of living raises that the entirety company would have gotten at the end of the year?
If, as long as it's not discretionary.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a big impact, and it's, again, it starts from like a pretty reasonable reaction on the part of the employer. And so now I'm always running around to employers and being like, call me first when your employees like put something crazy on Facebook, and let's just talk about it and make sure that it doesn't fit into that box of concerted activity.
So what's the line? Because there was a meme on Facebook a couple years ago, and I think it was out of Britain, where somebody posted on Facebook exactly that and had forgotten, I guess, that they were friends with their boss. Mm-hmm. And so the boss commented and said, don't bother coming in tomorrow, I'll send you your last check. Where is the line? Like, it's
luckily
protected.
That guy was in Britain.
I know, right? So what's the line?
Yeah, so the question is, so there's two questions. The first one is, does it concern the terms and conditions of employment? So if you have, so I'll give you an example. So there was a case that went before the National Labor Relations Board, involved a bartender. He went on Facebook and he said, he called all of their customers rednecks, and he said, I hope all these rednecks choke on glass as they drive home.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. How about that?
It's kind of harsh.
You're a friendly corner bartender. So anyway, he was fired. But in the same post, he had actually complained about the employer's tipping policy, because he was bussing tables but wasn't getting a cut of the waitress's tip. So he was upset about that. So he there's two things. I hope you choke on glass while you drive home, and I'm not getting enough tips. And the tips thing relates to terms and conditions of employment. So this was actually a case that, you know, we us really cool labor and employment attorneys were watching to see how the National Labor Relations Board was going to deal with that. And what they said was that this actually was not protected activity, because the choke on glass thing clearly didn't relate to terms and conditions of employment. And then with respect to the tipping comment, they said that he was voicing an individual gripe, and he wasn't calling for collective action. He wasn't saying, who else agrees with me that this tipping policy is a problem? So I like to joke that the National Labor Relations Board only protects you if you have friends. And if you're sad and lonely and have no one else to like your Facebook posts, you can get fired.
Yeah. That's nuts.
Life is one big popularity contest.
Apparently.
Yeah. Reinforced by the board.
Wow. What's the craziest thing that you've ever gone to court over?
It would not be the toilet thing?
I don't know.
I would just assume that. Or the Gumby thing.
Yeah, right? I guess both of those.
Okay. No, there's so many. Like I said, it never. I need to write a book about all of my experiences just because this material is all free and it's right at my fingertips. I had a case where a guy masturbated at work in front of a female coworker, and he was fired, and his defense was it was consensual.
No.
Which I didn't know if he met with himself or with her at first.
I'm speechless.
I thought more about it, and I was like, well, of course this is how it happens, right? That's always how it goes down. It's always just, that's, you know, normal at work. Consensual.
Of course.
I'm so speechless.
I can't.
Yeah, I don't know where to go from there.
So that was tough. That was a tough one. So he was fired on the spot.
Obviously.
Sure. And what happened was the boss came in, he said, you know what you did? You're out of here. And he called up and he talked to the receptionist and he said, I don't know why I was fired. Everything that happened in there was consensual, and I didn't sell drugs to anyone.
Wow. I'm amazed this just ended at fired. Like, there wasn't, like, he didn't get arrested or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, okay,
it's probably best that we just move on.
You're right,
What's your next question?
You're right, okay. Next question. I guess,
Oh, man.
Wow. Yeah. Podcasts. You are, like, one of the only people that I know that also listens to podcasts. Not one of the only. I guess I know Vin, too. He listens to podcasts. But podcasts, I feel like, are still kind of an underground thing. Yeah. I only started listening to them, like, last year. And when we were on the phone recently, we sort of were like, oh, my gosh, do you know this one? Do you know that one? So I was wondering if you have any shout-outs to favorite podcasts that you listen to.
Yes. So for 4 years, I commuted an hour each way to work. I actually just stopped 3 weeks ago. I'm very happy about that. But that meant I listened to a lot of podcasts. I would have to say, so my two most recent favorites are Invisibilia through NPR, which is awesome. And it's not a series. Like, you can pick it up. The episodes are independent of each other. So that's really good. And then S-Town.
Yes. Love S-Town.
Through NPR, which is also amazing.
Love that podcast.
Yeah.
You think it's going to be about one thing, and then by the end of episode two, you're like, wow, this is about something completely different.
Yeah. And the character, it's based on real characters, and it's just one of the most interesting people I've ever heard about. Mm-hmm. I don't want to give too much away.
No,
because
me too.
You really need to listen to it, otherwise I'll spoil it. But
yeah.
It is
fantastic.
Yeah,
I binged
really
it.
Good.
I think I finished it in like a couple days.
Yeah, I was so sad. I think there's only like 7 episodes,
yeah.
And I was really sad about it. It's one of those things where you feel like you made a friend and then they're gone.
Yeah, 100%.
That's so sad.
It is, but it's such a compelling, amazing story that I would re-listen to it.
Yeah.
What about you, Vin?
This one. Obviously. Hashtag OPB. Hashtag
right.
Tripod.
That's exactly right. 100%.
Oh, what do I listen to? I listen to a lot of car talk just because I don't want to be that guy that gets stranded somewhere and doesn't know what I'm doing, even though I'm sure I'm not absorbing any of this on my commute.
Wow.
I listen to Nintendo Voice Chat. It's an IGN podcast. They talk about video games. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I actually don't listen to a lot of them.
Did you listen to Serial?
No.
Ugh.
I never did either.
No!
I never did either.
It's so good.
I've heard that. All right, I will.
Yeah.
So my two that I'm kind of obsessed with right now is Ear Hustle, which is out of San Quentin Prison. And so it's prisoners who are talking about what life is like inside. It's really good.
That's I think cool. They did that on Orange is the New Black this year.
Right.
Yeah. You're not there yet. Oh my gosh. No, they did a vlog.
A vlog?
Oh,
yeah.
Wait,
You're not there. It's fine. We're not going to continue.
The beauty vlog?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. I totally. Yeah, I'm there.
Okay.
I'm loving it.
All right.
And I just discovered this one that's been out a year. Malcolm, thank you,
yeah,
sorry.
Malcolm Gladwell. It's
Revisionist History.
So good.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. The first episode blew my mind.
Did you listen to the one about funding for like donations to universities?
No, not yet.
Yeah, it's really good. But he was just talking about when the trend started happening. So I actually started this trend of donating more than $100,000 to universities, and it started with George Rowan, who donated to Rowan in South Jersey. But he goes through this list of like all of the universities in the country and how much money is donated to them each year, and your head will just spin when you find out like how much money is going to Cornell and Georgetown and wow. Princeton and Harvard and Yale. I mean, just millions and millions and billions of dollars that are being donated to these universities each year, and then you divide them by how many students they have, and it's like per student they have like, you know, $800,000 to spend in a year.
Is this private money? Like people are donating from their own checkbooks?
Like Bloomberg donates insane amounts of money to Johns Hopkins each year. But yeah, it's really interesting. But I love revisionist history. He does a great job.
Yeah.
He wrote
Tipping Point?
Yes.
And maybe Good to Great?
Right.
I think I read both of those, and I need to reread them because it was so long ago.
Yeah.
But I like them.
Yeah, that's good. Interesting stuff. And accessible.
Very accessible. Mm-hmm. I agree. All right, so we're going to wrap things up, I think, as we always do, with my favorite question. What are you hoping for this week? But before we do that, the last episode, Vin's hope.
Yes, my hope. Okay, so the magic of podcasting.
Right.
We recorded a few episodes in a row, and then my hope in the last episode was that I would have a quiet, peaceful weekend.
Right.
And that Friday, my daughter was born, 18 days early. So we haven't actually done this podcast in weeks now. It feels like we're coming back.
I know. Yeah. It feels like we're back from
yes,
break.
So right off the bat, yes, my hope is that I get some sleep this weekend. You know, that would be nice.
Yeah, I guess I have kind of a bougie hope because I have a really good friend that I made because she has been my massage therapist for a long time. And so we've become friends over years. And I was supposed to do like a massage and then like hang out with her a couple weeks ago, and I had to cancel it. So my hope is that it's scheduled for this Friday, and I'm really hoping that I can make it work. Like it'll actually happen. We won't have to reschedule it because I've been needing a little R&R, and I know that it's kind of decadent. I hope I get a massage this weekend. But I really do. I like my friend. I like to hang out with her, and she's really good. So I'm psyched about that.
Cool.
What about you?
So we just moved into a new house, and we are finally at the point where when I walk in, I am not just overwhelmed with anxiety at the sea of cardboard that's in front of me.
So
having a bunch of high school girlfriends over and their families this weekend, and it'll be like we are actually settling into our new spot and entertaining, which is
nice.
Yeah, what we like to do.
That is awesome. That first dinner party is always a really good time.
Yeah, except it will be brunch with children running all over the place.
Oh, well,
that shall be good.
That'll still be fun.
Yeah.
As long as there's champagne
and dinner drinks after they go to sleep.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Love it. All right. I think that's our show.
Please subscribe. Your network of choice, iTunes, Google Play. We're on the Amazon Echo now. Give us a few more weeks. We'll be coming out of your refrigerator. And rate us. If you're listening to the show on a network that allows ratings like iTunes, please make sure you do. It helps us get discovered. If you love us, give us the full 5 stars. If you hate us, by all means, write into OPB, Other People's Business, but OPB@NJBIA.org, and let us know what we could be doing better. We're still very new at this, so yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks so much to our early subscribers. We really appreciate all the buzz out there. You guys are sharing the podcast love, and we really, really appreciate it. Thank you to Laura Link from Archer for joining us today. We will see you next time.
Later.
Bye.